The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, I'm joined in the studio by the co-host of the Talking Bollocks podcast, Calvin O'Brien, for What Made Me. Calvin, you're very welcome. I don't often get to say that word on the radio, so I never get to say that word on the radio, so that's a treat.
Yeah, usually they call it Talking B, but I'm glad that you actually said the full title.
Might as well just call it what it is.
Yeah, there's been worse things said on the radio.
How are you anyway?
I'm all good. Thanks for having me in, yeah.
We wanted to just talk to you about what made you, you know, how you got to where you are. And it's tough to make it in podcasting. Like, everyone has one now, don't they?
Yeah, it is. It's a very saturated market. But I don't think that's a bad thing, because that means then if you are an avid listener of podcasts, you're guaranteed to find the right one for you.
Mm-hmm. Where did it start? What happened?
Yeah, so it happened in COVID, like a lot of ideas. Everyone had a lot of time on their hands and didn't know what to be doing with themselves. I think it was a lot of time for self-reflection. And for a lot of people, I'd like to say, oh, this is a dream of mine. It wasn't. I was always very outspoken on topics, and I'd burn years off anybody. But it was in November 2020 when you had to be exercising outside, even though it was freezing cold in the winter. A friend of mine set up like a boxing club, and we'd go up there. It was in Hardwick Three Flats. We'd go up there, we'd be sparring, we'd be doing drills, we'd be doing anything just to get out of the house. And that's where I met my co-host, Terence. We had a lot of mutual friends, although we wouldn't have been friends ourselves.
Oh, you didn't really know each other then?
No, we didn't. But as I said, we had a lot of mutual friends. So I knew of him, he knew of me.
Mm-hmm.
And just from there, we kind of clicked and we started doing our own thing. And I remember one morning we went out to 44 for a dip in the sea, freezing cold. But again, you were doing whatever. And I dropped him home, and I dropped one of the lads home as well. And we pulled up outside his ma's house, and we were just chatting there for about 40 minutes. And a friend of ours was in the backseat, me and Terence were in the front. And my friend was like, this is great listening to you. I was asking Terence, and I was like, ask me what? And he was like, look, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. Would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, like, why not? Like, I've a lot to say, so why not? I'm one of these people, if I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no time for people who are like, oh yeah, no problem, I'll see you there, and they cancel. So I said to him, look, Monday morning, come down to my house, we'll get this done and we'll bash it out. So,
and what were you doing? Were you recording it on your phone?
Literally had no idea what we were doing, no equipment. I knew somebody that had set up a podcast, and I messaged him, and he was like, just use the recorder app on your phone. So like, everybody open up your phone now, you will have like a notes recorder, like memo app on your phone. I'd use that to record episode one. I put the phone down on the table, Terence sat on the other side of the table, and we recorded episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I was like, right, I need to edit this now. I just downloaded an app and edited an app, and that was it.
And did that fit with what you're doing? Was your work related to?
No.
No,
I do work in tech. I have a degree in computer science, and I do work in a big tech company. I'm actually an engineer by trade, but no, like, sound engineering is not what I'm. What I specialise in.
It's a brave thing to do.
Yeah.
But like, and it's fine to do episode one, but then you have to do episode 35. You have to keep going with the thing.
So this was the thing. So we recorded episode one on the Monday, and then like I kind of sat on it for a day or two, edited it, and Terence rang me then on Thursday morning. I was like, this is crap. Like, what are we talking about? Like, who wants to hear this? So I was hemming and hawing, because realistically, you recorded it, you edited it, you should just put it straight out. So I was like, oh, and he rang me and he was like, oh, what's the story when you're uploading that episode? I was like, Terence, I don't think it's great. Like, and he's like, look, if you want to delete it, like, it's grand. And I was like, I felt bad then. I was like, no, like, he's had to give me his time. The least I could do was upload it. So I uploaded episode one on the Thursday. Friday morning, we were trending number one in the country. And I was like, bollocks. I was like, that means we're going to have to do episode two now. So that was it then.
Then you become a slave to it, don't you?
Well, that's it then. Like, the two paces out of the... Out of the tube, as you say, like, there's no going back, and then that was it. It's just, once you're number one in the country, like, what, you can't just say, oh, look.
It's been a bit of a wild ride, though, hasn't it, from there? Like, life-changing stuff.
Mental, like, I can't, I had a chat with your producer before this, and they were like, oh, summarise the change. I was like, I can't, like, there's no words to put in. Walking down the road and someone stopping you and be like, I'm listening to your podcast now, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know you. Like, you don't know me personally. Why are you listening to that? But it's obviously done something. And it's crazy. Like, do you know what I mean? The people we've met along the way, the conversations we've had, the live shows, everything. I wouldn't change it for the world.
I suppose the live shows then, it's a whole other thing, isn't it? Because you're standing in front of real people. You're asking people to buy a ticket to come and see you. You know.
Like, you're the reason people are going on a night out.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Like, it's, we're not singers and we're not comedians. Mm. So like if you get into stand up, your natural trajectory is going to be you're doing this thing and you're going to have to do it in front of a live audience. Same with singing. You're eventually going to have to face a crowd.
Yeah. But you're a computer scientist having to do that. That's hard to square away. But did you find it hard to do that, to make the leap into the live gigs?
Yeah, because like it's a complete unknown. As I said, like if we were musicians, you know, well, I'm going to go out there and play a set. Mm-hmm. And these people have paid to come and see this set. So they'd have to be fans. Whereas it's like, what do we do? Sit down and do a podcast with a live audience there? And in theory, that's what you do, but it's not. It's far from that. Like, the live shows are absolutely wild. Like, the first one sold out. I think it sold out technically in, less than 5 minutes. And there was scrambles then to find bigger venues. But we were like, right, we'll do this and see how it goes. We had no clue what we were doing. And people seemed to love it. And it was deadly because, you're looking in the crowd and most of the front few rows, you know everybody because you can see it was in Liberty Hall. So you can see right up to the back row, you can see everybody and it was deadly. Mm-hmm. Then from there, you're in Vicar Street, probably the most iconic venue in Dublin. And then you're selling that out. You're selling it out so quick, you put a second light on, that sold out as well. And you're like, no way.
And you're walking out onto the stage knowing that everybody in the room is there because they want to be, you know?
Yeah.
They're on your side.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Your name's on the ticket and people have came there. You're the reason people are getting babysitters. People are going buying new outfits. People are having pre-drinks and where mm-hmm. they're going before and after and booking days off work. You're that reason. So it's great. Let's give them the bang for the buck. And I think we do because what I always say in the live shows is you're going out to perform now, but you're going out to sell the next show as well. You're giving people a reason to be like, that was class, I can't wait for the next mm-hmm. one.
Are you still doing the day job?
Yeah, still doing the day job, yeah.
Because people think, when you have this success with the podcast that you're loaded.
Yeah. I know.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you loaded?
I wouldn't say I'm loaded, no. But in Ireland, what's loaded, you know what I mean? Could I afford to leave the day job? Probably, but I worked very hard to get the day job and I'm very proud of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to do both. So why
not?
I? Yeah.
We were playing that clip all morning when we were saying you were coming on about someone who said to you, if you want to do well, you'll have to lose that accent or tone down the accent.
Yeah.
That seems wild to me that would be said to you. But that is that something that doesn't surprise you knowing what you know now?
So as I said, starting the podcast, I was very outspoken. I went to college and being where we're from, you're always told you'll never be Anne. And if you look at the newspaper headlines and you look into it all, you're like what the media portrays it as, you're like, oh, they must be right. All these people couldn't be wrong. But I'm somebody I like to think I went down the right road. I know plenty of people that went down the wrong road. And that was an option coming where I'm from.
But if you're told you're never going to be anything, you're never going to make anything. Mm. The wrong road seems like the road you should be travelling on if that's the message you heard your whole life.
Being on the right road seems like the wrong road.
Exactly.
I'm not supposed to be on this one. So I'm making all these right decisions in inverted commas that I'm going to college and I'm trying my best to get a job. But I remember my first week in college, people telling me, you won't be here this time next year. And I was like, you don't even know me. Other than, you know where I'm from, but you don't know me personally. Mm-hmm. So I always kind of had this chip on my shoulder. And when I got into the workplace then, and you're in these organisations and you're talking to people from all walks of life, and you tell them where you're from, you can see them. And you're like, you don't know me though, do you know what I mean? I'm not defined by my address. Mm-hmm. But then I had that conversation with somebody, they went to school in the area. Now they weren't from the area, but they went to school in the area. And they were like, if you want to get far in this organisation, you're going to have to change that accent. And I remember thinking that is scandalous. I was performing well and I had people, I had managers and higher ups standing over what I was doing. They could trust me. And I just thought this is such a backwards approach. I since left that job and the company I'm working for now, they couldn't give two hoots where I'm from. They don't care who I am or where I'm from. They just care about the work I do. You know what I mean? And that to me, that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. You should be in somewhere on merit.
I know you've spoken to Katrina O'Sullivan, who I know pretty well now since Poor, and we had her on the programme last week for Hungry. But she says, I think she says it in her book, that one of her family members said to her, you think you're better than us. And she said, yeah, I do. I'm better than this, than what she was brought up in, you know. And, sometimes having that level of ambition about yourself is seen as wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that's an Irish thing. Not necessarily where we're from, in a working class in a city, Dublin. Mm. I think that's an Irish thing. I always give the example. If you knew somebody who just turned professional in boxing and they were in the US and they were like, I'm going to be the champion of the world, you'd be like, yes, yeah, you are. But you see an Irish person doing that and he says, what's our goal and ambition? Like, I'm going to be the champion of the world. You'd be like, all right, relax there.
Yeah, calm who do you down. Think you are?
Yeah, that's an Irish thing. Not necessarily a working class thing, but I think in working class areas, it's just that like the resources are so low and limited. And as I said, you are portrayed as this less than problem drain on society, that if you do try and stick your head out and like, no, I'm going to become something, you're like, what are you at? Like this. Mm-hmm. But again, what is conditioned and brainwashed into thinking that we're less than? I know the funniest, most talented people, and they're all people I grew up with. It's just they need that bit more ambition and they could go and achieve all their goals, mm-hmm. all their dreams. And I think that's what we're trying to do with the podcast.
They need to be given a chance as well, though. Do you know what I mean? And we heard about last week on the programme, the South Inner City, and, you know, the North Inner City had some investment in it, and Kenny put together a plan. It seems to have worked to a certain extent. South Inner City doesn't get that. Mm. And so you have all of those dropout rates when it comes to second level. Crime rates are higher. All of these things that if someone just put the hand out could be helped an awful lot, couldn't they? Rather than people being told you have to rely on yourself.
Mm. Well, this is the thing. There's always been a lack of investment in these areas. And then when the statistics come out that you have high dropout rates and higher crime, how are you surprised?
What do you expect?
Because there is a correlation between more investment mm-hmm. means more opportunity, means less poverty, means less crime, etc. But it's the correct investment as well. There's no point. Like, Ballymun's a great example. There's like over £1 billion spent on Ballymun and they still have problems. So like, you can throw money at stuff. But if it's not going down the right avenues and into the right channels, then what's the point?
I could keep going with you, but the time is up, unfortunately. Calvin, it's great to have you in.
Thanks for having me in. I really appreciate
it. Lovely to chat to you. Let's do it again.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks so much.
The Clare Byrne Show. With Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.